This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, a Texas Tech athletics podcast where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. This is your host, Spencer, joined as always by Michael. Michael, what's up, man?
I just want to let everybody know in the Lubbock area, I did my part today. I washed my truck for the first time in maybe 6 weeks. And we got some nice rain.
You brought the rain on. Yeah, we were out there at the baseball field tonight, warming up, getting ready to go. Of course, downpour comes at like 5:57 for 6 o'clock first pitch. So we got delayed.
You know, whoever Tadlock uses the weatherman to determine that, hey, maybe the 6:30 first pitch tonight, maybe I should move that up 5 hours and 55 minutes, not 6 hours, because who does that? But 5 hours and 55 minutes, you should move that up to 12:35. Good job by you. Because we were driving home from gymnastics practice at 6:30 and was like, yeah, this is not baseball weather right now. But no, y'all were out in the thick of it.
It was cold.
It was cold. Hey, no lightning though?
Well, no. Apparently. We were in a lightning delay. It was like right over us. Like right over us out there at the Milwaukee complex.
Well, I guess I should apologize for washing my truck today.
It's fine. We still got the game, man.
That's on me. Okay.
Delayed. All of our stuff got soaked though. Samantha took the kids to the car, and then I ran up to the concession stand, trying to find another board member and figure out what the deal was. And I come back, and like the wind had changed. It was blowing straight in. I was like, oh, crap. Like we left our wagon out. Our folding chairs were out. The car seat was turned around, and it was like just catching all the rainwater. I was like, This is great.
One more thing that we should probably actually talk about tech stuff, but my mother-in-law nonchalantly just said, hey, we were walking back from soccer this weekend, mm-hmm. and there was four of us walking. We each were carrying something. It really wasn't nothing crazy. We each had something. Everybody was pitching in, doing their part. And she was like, I'm going to get y'all a wagon. I think y'all need a wagon. And the whole time I was thinking, not for one kid. No, there's three adults and one kid walking here. We don't need a wagon. And then anyway, it's not like she's going to be the one to stuff it into the back of the SUV and then fold it up and figure out how to unfold it. And they are great for a certain aspect of life, but we're not there right now. And I was just slightly annoyed that she was suggesting that, knowing that I would be the one to have to fold it, unfold it, cram it in the car with the chairs, with all this other stuff. I'm like, no, we're fine. we got this.
We love our wagon.
Now, if we had three kids or two kids, or if we had to be there all day or something, it'd be like, okay, all right, let's pitch in. Let's do the wagon. But we're going to be there an hour. I can carry, I'm a mule, man. I got this. I can carry three camping chairs. You should see how many bags of groceries I can carry. It's amazing.
Yeah. If I have to carry all the chairs, I'm still able to do it because there's just three of them.
Yeah.
When we go, it's like, okay, it's me. It's my chair. It's Samantha's chair. It's Hayden's chair. Grayson's playing, obviously. And Finley's either in her car seat/stroller or sitting with us. So. Yeah.
But you got probably a lot more gear in baseball. You got, hey, I am not putting down the wagon. Well, I'm pro wagon, but just not for us.
Two games in, we've desperately needed the blankets, and then we've got this big because of the age of the other kids that aren't watching or that aren't playing. We've got snacks and games, all kinds of stuff.
Yes, that too. Well, and I want to, when it comes time for the wagon, I want to choose the wagon life. I don't want the wagon life to choose me. I don't want to be hoisted upon here. This is going to be so much better for you. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is yet. Someday.
Well, I had to do the, I just felt like the dad, I had brought it all home and then I had to like reset everything back up on the back patio. It's like, it's got to dry.
Yep.
Because if it doesn't, it's going to be all mildewy and we'll never get that out. So anyways, our Tigers are 0-2.
Tech sports.
Slow start to the season. Tech sports. Slow start, slow finish. Limp into this season as the, I don't know. I was trying to make a connection there and it's just not. Basketball season's over, at least for Texas Tech. Early exit from the big dance. Played like trash. You are bringing guys back from injury and not at 100%. You just couldn't buy a bucket.
Oh my gosh.
There were no offensive foul calls when Freight Train was just blowing people over and throwing elbows into people's faces and chests and just throwing them in the first row.
Yeah, I want to call him Mini Shaq, but that's disrespect to the man's girth. He's not mini anything.
No, he was just fat.
He was hard to stop. You couldn't stop him. 40, what do they have? 40 something points in the paint. Meanwhile, Tech's over here missing 25 3-pointers. I think they missed more 3-pointers than they made buckets.
Yeah.
And then this,
we'll get to the game specifically.
The other tall kid.
I'm not ready for this yet.
Like averaging 6 points a game. And then we make him look like NBA All-Star.
Well, yeah. And then his next game, he goes for 2 points and then fouls out.
Oh, that was brutal. I watched enough of that next game to catch that too.
Yeah.
Because I tuned in right as that happened. 2 points, fouled out. Really? You couldn't have done that 2 nights before, bro. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm still happy with how the season went. We'll get there.
I'm just looking at the preview section we had up for Kentucky.
Good Lord.
LOL.
What were we thinking?
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the game and how the rest of the Big 12 is done in the tournament. And then we'll turn our focus to baseball because that's the last. Well, I say that outdoor track is about to start. I think they start on Thursday with the Texas relays. Wes Kittley has his outdoor teams both ranked top 25. I think the men's team is 10th and women's maybe 15th. I don't know.
Well, and maybe we should add for future shows because I don't want to. I will half-ass it anyway because I won't be able to follow it as well as the ladies at Seeing Scarlet, but softball's going on.
Yes. Sorry.
We might ought to throw that in there here and there, but it's just now that basketball's off the table for both teams, I might be able to try to follow two diamond related sports.
Two hardball sports.
Yeah. Just real quickly. They're currently 21-8, 2-4 in conference. Aside from that, I don't know much, but that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Baseball got a series victory, avoided the 0-3 start to the Big 12 play, which would have been the first time ever for Texas Tech, or at least the first time under Tim Tadlock. I know that he's never gone. He's never lost three consecutive Big 12 series, and I know they've never started 0-3 in Big 12 series. Big 12 baseball is wild. Preseason, we thought it was going to be TCU, Oklahoma State, Texas, and Texas Tech. TCU and Oklahoma State are hot garbage. At least right now they are. Texas is like they're there almost by default. Houston's overperforming a little bit. They're doing pretty well. Oklahoma, like where the heck did they come from? They're doing all kinds of good things. Kansas State, maybe better than their record. UCF, not no slouch either. Not no slouch. So anyways, we'll talk about basketball in the Big 12 tournament, not the Big 12, the NCAA tournament, and then the Big 12 in the tournament. And then we'll focus on baseball. So I guess let's back it up to basketball. Thursday night versus NC State, 5.5 point favorite. You lose by 13 and it was ugly. It got ugly.
Yeah, it was not a close 13.
I mean, you got it within, was it 1 point there in the second half? Like it was close at half. I think you were down 3 or 4 points at half. Yeah, you were down 4 at half. NC State only outscored you by 9 in the second half, but like even that feels like it was just, I don't know. It felt, they went on that little run. And I say little because I don't have the run tracker in front of me. They went on a run there a little more than halfway through the second half. And then the rest of it just felt like inevitable. You just couldn't do anything. You couldn't claw your way back in. Let's see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah, Tech was down 14 with 6:38 left in the game, and that was pretty much lights out for that. I think they got it within 7 or 9, but that was pretty much it.
You had gotten it to, well, it hung around a 3-4-5 point game. They had up to 6.7. Yeah. The second half starts, DJ Horn in 9 seconds. It's a 3-pointer. Like, okay. You respond with a 3-pointer from Isaacs. So it kind of hangs around 3, 4, 6. You can get it down to 2 points with 15:57 to go. And then it hangs there. I mean, it was a 3-point game, 14-11, 4-point game, 13-30, 3-point game, 3 points at 12:30, 12 minutes, 30 seconds left. When Chance McMillan hits a jump shot, you know, it's 52-49. You're right there with them. And then they go on a little bit of a run here. NC State hits a 2, a free throw, a 2, a 2, a 2. And finally you get a bucket here. Warren Washington in the paint. You had gone on these little miniature, not miniature, they were devastating scoring droughts that you just experienced in the season. From 12:30 to 8:51, you scored no points. You missed everything. Jumpers, three-pointers, layups. Like, it was all, like, you were just clanking everything. So you, what is that, 3.5 minutes there? Where,
yeah,
you went from,
there was at least, yeah.
Yeah. At least 3.5 minutes, you went from a 3-point game to a 12-point game. You're like, well, that's it. And then from there out, like, you were forcing it. And I get the three can bring you back into games, but it can just as quickly put you out of games. And for whatever reason, like, the feel wasn't there on when to remove the green light from Mr. Pop Isaacs, because he just kept shooting you out of, just, I don't know. He shot you out of it for that stretch. I mean, he was on the floor there. And let's see, he subbed out 6:52. So a good 6 minute stretch there. And I'm not saying it's all on Isaac's, but like there was just a lot going on and not in your favor. And then they were playing bully ball down low with, Burns. Sorry. Was it Burns? Yeah.
Yeah. Burns Jr.
DJ Burns. Where the officials, I guess they were just letting the game just go. Cause he'd get the ball and then he was just like, just freight train, whoever was there, throwing elbows, throwing his butt. It didn't matter. He was like bumping people into the crowd. Of course the fans there, and it felt like a lot of the fans that were cheering every time he touched the ball were not NC State fans. They were just like fans of other teams that were still in the arena. Just absolutely eating it up. I was like, well, this sucks. It got to a 15 point game. Nope. 17 points, 2 minutes to go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they only had 23 points from their bench. 21 of them came from Middlebrooks. Just brutal. Had no answer for a true power forward. Just couldn't stop him. He also was 90% from the charity stripe. That doesn't hurt. So 6 of 8 from the field. Burns, you know, he only played 16 minutes. But he had 16 points in 16 minutes.
He's 7-11 from the field, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a solid one player. Rebound. I don't mean that in a funny way.
One rebound.
Dude, don't miss.
Four turnovers, four fouls. Like you thought getting him into foul trouble would have helped, but like when Middlebrooks goes 6 of 8, 9 of 10 from the free throw stripe, you're like, well,
having the night of his life.
Yeah. Then, so you get bounced.
Yeah, bounced, and it you could kind of see it coming. I didn't. I really thought, you know, we were looking at the stats of what this team had done this year. I just felt like Tech had played and beaten teams that looked like this mm-hmm. 7 or 8 times in our own conference. And so I was worried. I'm always worried, but I expected Tech to win. And I think had this been, you know, Tech won a lot of games like this. Tech won a lot of games where they shot like absolute dog crap from three and they didn't get out rebounded this week. You know, turnovers were equal. A lot of things kind of went Tech's way, except for the shooting, just absolutely atrocious shooting. And then the points in the paint, they doubled us up on points in the paint, 42 to 20. So dominated the paint and just shot kind of okay. They shot really well in the second half from the field, but it's because they were mostly shooting bunnies from the paint. So anyway, I feel like this is one of those games that Tech won a couple of these that they probably shouldn't have, and then they lost one that they probably should have because they just could not make any sort of stop down low and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah. You mentioned it earlier, but they went 7 of 31 from three.
Yeah.
And that's all that's going to reflect itself in the amount of free throws attempted. You attempted 14 in the game, 12 of 14. Whereas NC State was very content pushing the ball into the paint and they shot 26 free throw attempts. Granted, part of this in the second half, you were fouling and trying to get it closer. And they shot 17 attempts in the second half and hit 13 of them. They're 8 of 9 in the first half. But they only attempted 13 three-pointers in the entire game to your 31.
Yeah, and that just goes to the type of night they had too. So their three-point percentage is usually 34%. They shot almost 39. Their field goal percentage is usually 45%. They shot 50. Almost 51. And then their free throw percentage is usually 73.
They shot 60,
and they shot
61%.
Almost 81.
61% from the field in the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what happens when you have no interior defense.
Yeah, 14-23 on second half field goals.
It doesn't sound like it, but I'm still satisfied that Tech even made the tournament this year. I have to keep going back to how I felt in April of last year, or March more specifically, how it felt then. You know, a couple of the rocky stretches through Big 12 play, a couple of close calls early on in, you know, November and December. But, you know, to see this team with the injuries that they were dealt and just almost a completely new cohesive unit to make it this far, I have to keep reminding myself that was great. I was glad to see it. I'm glad they made it that far, but I still hate the way that they lost, because that was a brutal, they just got steamrolled by a tougher team. You know, the Gauchos have been preaching toughest team wins, and I know that comes from the basketball program itself, I believe, too. But yeah, they were not the toughest team Thursday night, that's for sure.
No.
Good to see Washington come back. I know he wasn't 100%. He was out there. He was contributing. He wasn't fouling Burns, because that's easy to get in that situation where you just don't feel like you're going to be able to stop anybody, and so you just start fouling. And I didn't feel like he was doing that. You know, I think Jennings, for some reason, they kept blowing the whistle on him, but I don't really know what he was supposed to do either against that guy. But yeah, to see Washington come back, 18 minutes, 3 or 4 shooting,
mm-hmm.
you know, didn't get the ball a whole lot, but grabbed some boards, had 8 rebounds. You know, I was glad to see him back, period. It's just too bad that it was in a game that went the way it did.
Yeah, you had absolutely no depth. I mean, you played 7 guys.
Yeah, and 2 guys never left.
Yeah. Joe Toussaint, Darian Williams played all 40 minutes. Pop Isaacs played 34. Kerwin Walton, 20. Bob Jennings, 16. Chance McMillan, 32. Warren Washington, 18. So with that, Michael, let's talk about the roster. Let's talk about what's, I know that, like, we don't know what's coming next. Or what all, like, who all staying. But what do you want to see addressed this offseason?
Size. We've got to get bigger. We've got to get some consistent scores. It's brutal to see your point guard go 1 for 10 from the arc and 3 for 16 in the biggest game of the season. I'm not saying Isaacs needs to go or anything. I'm not talking that drastically, but he is not a consistent scorer. He's still Tech's top scorer, I think, but not consistent. And, you know, Toussaint wasn't that guy either. He was 1 for 7 from 3. Almost every time he threw up a 3, I was yelling at the TV the other night. That's just not his game, but we just have to get some consistent scores, and we have to get some size. That's about all I can contribute to it. Nothing specific. I don't have any person in mind. I don't have, like, a scheme in mind.
No, but is there somebody on the current roster that you think you can't afford to lose for next season?
Like, I would say Washington if he wasn't out.
Well, I mean, like, of the guys that have the eligibility to come back, Warren Washington's not one of them. He's a super senior. He's gone.
I think Darian Williams.
Yep. He has to come back.
Possibly Cambridge, even though we didn't get to see him very much.
Would love to have him back for a full season.
Although, I'm on the fence with Isaacs, but I still really like Kerwin Walton and Chance McMillan, but I don't. And here I am listing all small guys, but small. They're all taller than me probably, but you know what I mean, relatively.
Yeah, Chance McMillan is a senior. Darian Williams is a sophomore. Kerwin Walton's a senior, but I think he's got the super senior year left. Devin Cambridge is listed as a super senior, but he may get this year back as a medical redshirt possibility, but don't know.
Kerwin Walton may be done too.
Yeah. He's listed as a senior.
Yeah.
It is interesting to note though, on the roster page on the team website, I mean, I don't know if there was been an official announcement. If it has, I just missed it. And it's not like it's a surprise, but Kyron Lindsey's not listed on the team anymore.
Correct. He entered the portal today, right?
Sure.
Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, he's in the portal. Okay. He announced it today. Sorry.
But
I was leading you into expanding on that, but I didn't know you didn't know.
There's not a surprise there, really. Supposedly he had left the program before the season was over.
I'm going to pull in Seth's eligibility chart.
Okay.
Right there. And that helps quite a bit. So I think this is his latest one. And so he's got, Kerwin Walton, Joe Toussaint, Warren Washington, and Devin Cambridge listed as their last. This would be their last year of eligibility, but you have to assume that Cambridge could come back with a medical redshirt.
Yeah, I think so.
So he could come back. Of course, Yalaho, Darian Williams, Robert Jennings, and let's see, Washington McMillan, and Pop Isaacs. And most of those guys are, you know, they're good till 2026 or 7.
I wonder what a guy like Lamar Washington is thinking right now. Because it seems like he was emerging as a really exciting piece at the end of last season. And then he plays so very sparingly this year.
And yeah, I would.
It's like games with like just long stretches of the schedule where he just didn't play at all.
He's a guy that if he entered the portal, I would just like shake his hand and say, I don't know what happened either, man. I wish you the best of luck. I enjoyed what we got to see from him last year. Let's see. This year he's averaged, I was trying to figure out how many minutes he's averaged. It's not going to tell me how many he's averaged. That's great. But he had 268 minutes, never started a game. But I can't tell you how many games he played based off this chart. Oh, that's great. It's good radio. It's good radio, Michael. But anyway, he had 268 minutes this season, but what I can do is just straight up compare minutes. Last season,
let's see,
490. So they almost got cut in half.
It says he played in 30 games.
Okay.
So, excuse me, I was mistaken when I said he had gone long stretches. No, he played in more games than,
but just a handful of minutes in those games.
He averaged
probably not very many consecutive.
8.9 minutes per game.
So yeah, a lot of, especially towards the end of the year, 6 minutes, 4 at TCU, 1 at Baylor, 1 versus UCF, 1 versus Kansas, 2 versus TCU, 2 versus Texas. He hasn't played since Tech played Houston.
Yeah.
In the Big 12 tourney. So yeah, you know, his minutes almost dropped in half. I would be surprised if he sticks around unless he just really loves the program and believes in the coach and believes in the team and is okay with sacrificing minutes. But not a lot of guys are, especially when they were given them earlier on and then they were taken away.
Yeah. Other just strange things with the roster. Damarion Williams. Like, where did he go? He played 19 minutes this year. 7 games. Assume he's gone. We know Byron Lindsay's already in the portal. He's gone. Lamar Washington may or may not come back. We'd love to see Emily Yalajo. Bob Jennings, Kerwin Walton, Devin Cambridge, if we can convince him to use a super senior, that'd be awesome. And medical red shirt. Darian Williams, Chance McMillan. I don't know. I don't know like who's out there, who's available. We talked about, or we discussed last year, we were waiting on the NIT to wrap up so we could hire a coach, because I think we were waiting on McCaslin.
That's right.
And then that delay may have slowed down the roster for this season, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation of where is he? What's he doing? Where's he going?
But
even after he was hired.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It was just a slow start. And
like one other guy for a while.
But now that you were free to move about the country and to be dipping your toe in the portal as teams are wrapping up their season, I'm interested to see. I know you don't have a high school recruit committed to this upcoming recruiting class. It doesn't sound like you're going to add anybody in that instance. So you're going to go after transfers. So I'm interested to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, he'll have a full season under his belt, a full, you know, kind of has the lay of the land, knows where his office is, how to book a flight.
Yeah,
he'll be a little bit ahead of the curve this time.
Hope so.
And also, you know, he can. All these guys entering the portal now. Unfortunate that Tech is out of the tournament, but frees up a lot of coaching staff time.
Yeah,
to evaluate, maybe reach out.
And you got to re-recruit the guys on your roster that you want to keep.
Yep,
because. I'm sure they're getting plenty of interest. I'm sure a lot of people saw what Darian Williams was able to do. Like, hey, you want to come play for us?
No kidding. Yeah, that's something you got to worry about a little bit. That's a talented kid.
Mm-hmm. Like, you hate to look ahead, but when Kentucky lost to Oakland, you're like, oh man, here we go. Like, we got a shot to make it to the Sweet 16. Like, the Red Sea is parting here. But it just wasn't to be, man.
Yeah, I wanted to mention Kentucky a little bit because we just completely glossed over Oakland's existence last week. And that was by design. I didn't even want to bother looking them up. I didn't even acknowledge that I was.
So much so, we just assumed Oakland University, College, whatever they go by.
The Golden Grizzlies.
That they were in the state of California.
They set us up for failure. They absolutely set us up for failure. So I just wanted to throw that back and acknowledge that, oh yeah, we were way wrong on that. They hail from Auburn Hills, Michigan, folks.
Wherever that is.
Oakland. Yes. Oakland-MI.
Yeah.
Oakland of Michigan. Yeah, just kind of wanted to mention that again and also mention that we focused so much on how Kentucky was able to score and then and they lost to Oakland.
Yeah. Not that I want to talk about brackets, but let's do look around the rest of the Big 12. BYU lost in the first round to Duquesne. That's rough. 71-67. Yeah. And I say that. I recognize Texas Tech lost in the first round.
Yeah, we just talked about it for 30 minutes. We know. Yeah,
we know. We know.
y'all know we know.
TCU loses to Utah State. This one's rough. They lost by 16 to Utah State. Obviously, Texas Tech loses to NC State. Texas, the Longhorns were able to beat Colorado in a very ugly game, 56-44, but then lost to the other UT, to the coach they fired for not making it out of the first weekend enough times. They lost to them by 4, lost to the Volunteers of Tennessee. Kansas beat Samford by 4, good job, and then got blown out by Gonzaga. They lost by 21.
They shouldn't have beat Samford.
No.
Did you see the end of that? Because I switched over to the end of that after the Tech game. And of course, hindsight's 20/20. We've got 4K. We've got all this stuff. But on a breakaway layup, Samford got called on a perfectly clean block. And I think Samford, the game was either tied or they were up by 1 or something. And of course, then that sent Kansas to the line, and they made both free throws, I think. I don't think the ball did, in fact, lie.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were lucky to get past the first game.
But ball did not lie in game 2.
No, no.
And they did have to do that without McCuller, but.
Sure, of course. Yeah. Their leading scorer. Kind of a big deal.
Did you hear that quote about Self had basically turned his focus to the next season, like
a month ago.
Yeah. Okay.
I did.
Yeah.
So monitor all your phone calls and text people. He might've been, hey, speaking of what's, hey, Darian, you like Lawrence?
Yeah. That's,
come check it out.
That would be rough to lose McCuller and then Darian Williams.
I know. I'm creating this awful scenario that would make a lot of Tech fans foam at the mouth.
Baylor beat Colgate, then lost to Clemson. Who I think I had Clemson getting upset because they were in an 11-6 matchup, right?
I think so. And
an opening weekend, I think it was New Mexico.
I started watching that game. Yeah, a lot of people had New Mexico as a sleeper, but I started watching that game, Baylor Clemson, and man, Clemson just jumped out in front early and never looked back. But then Baylor got it close. Give them credit; they got it back within just I think a couple points in the last few minutes. They shot awful. So anyway, I couldn't believe the Spencer, but one of the reasons I brought it up was I caught myself rooting for Baylor.
What? How could you?
I wanted them to win this game. And then when they weren't, I checked out and did other things. Then I came back to it and started rooting for them again. And then they lost anyway.
Yeah. Iowa State onto the Sweet 16. They're still alive. We got two Big 12 teams remaining. Their path so far, they beat South Dakota and then Washington State. So Thursday night, they will take on Illinois. Terrence Shannon, Illinois, 9-0-9 on TBS, True TV. That could be a really interesting, entertaining game, at least for Big 12 fans or Texas Tech fans. Houston also in the Sweet 16. They beat Longwood by 40. Youch. And then A&M took them to overtime. But they were able to pull away late to win that one, 195. So they will take on Duke on Friday at 8:40.
I mean, hats off to the Aggies for scoring 95 points on this Houston team.
No kidding.
Has Tech done that in 2 games? I don't know.
3? Can we get all 3 games?
Well, I think we only played them twice. because we played them there, then we played them in the
Big
12 tourney.
Okay.
And they just kicked our butts both times.
Yeah.
At least for three of the four halves.
So you were a better, more in-tune basketball fan than I was. I as soon as Tech lost, like I haven't watched any of the tournament since. I may tune back in this weekend for Sweet 16 and beyond, but man, I was kind of beat down after that game on Thursday.
I was surprised. I was surprised at how much I watched because the tournament, it's never been that big a deal to me. I know a lot of guys love it and it's their favorite, and gals, a lot of folks love it and it's their favorite thing, sports thing all through the year, and they look forward to it and whether their team's in it or not. And I've never been that guy. I only really started paying attention when Tech started making it more consistently. And then, so I was kind of surprised. I caught myself watching some more games last week, even after Tech was out. I'm as surprised by it as you are. Cause I grew up as a NBA fan, so I didn't really watch college ball, but I watched a ton of NBA playoffs and even teams, you know, even when the Spurs weren't playing, like if the Lakers were on, you watched the Lakers. If the Kings were on, you watched the Kings, you know, that there was just certain teams you watched. But yeah, the tournament's never been my thing, but I am just for having to pay attention to it for the last several years, I think I'm slowly getting sucked in. So maybe by the time I'm 55 or 60, I'll be a tournament guy. I've got 15, 20 years to go. I'll be looking forward to it. Well,
until then, I guess. No, I've only been a tournament guy when Tech's playing, and it was really, I just would follow, you know, the Tech run.
The first round games, I really have to have a rooting interest. I can't just sit there and watch Colgate play somebody. Like, okay.
I remember we would have it on in the office, like when we were just sitting around. That was actually like one of the funny instances of like on a large team call and being unmuted when I thought I was muted. Like it was the first day of the tournament. And we had turned the games on in the office. I was like, oh, wow, they're already got the games going? Yeah. This was the entire communication staff for our organization for, you know, 50-something hospitals.
You were just curious. You were responding to a text.
And unfortunately, I interrupted our communication vice president who was talking at the time. So that was fun.
I'm so glad you recovered from that.
Yeah, you know, I emailed him and we've talked about it since, and joked about it. But
yeah, think Spencer's watching the tournament this year. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. Just make sure you're on mute. So yeah, I'll probably passively watch. I'm not even like trying to keep up with like my brackets, which. Whatever.
Oh yeah, I don't care. Let's, my brackets. It is what it is.
Yeah, let's switch over to baseball because that's the other sport that I'm got going on right now. Surprisingly, I've never been able to do softball and baseball. And maybe it's because it's just like we've never had the access to softball like we do now. And I never grew up watching softball. Like it was always such, like it was so distant. Like, I don't know. I'm not helping my case here, but, to your point, we need to bring them into focus too. And the track team, I mean, my goodness, the indoor team just won a national title. So when I say baseball is going on, it's not the only thing going on, softball and track. Anyways, baseball though, that's what I have prepared, Michael. I'm not prepared to talk about softball.
No, tonight. I agree.
Did have a winning homestand conference series against BYU. You go, you lose the Thursday game, 8-5. but then came back to win Friday and Saturday. You won 4-3 and then 10-1. And then you played again today. You took on Stephen F. Austin, and you won that game 16-4. Your run ruled them on a walk-off style run rule. You had a 3-run blast in the bottom of the eighth to get to your 10-run differential. Owen Washburn came in as a pinch hitter, bottom of the eighth with two outs, to put you over the top there. But your offense was slow to get going. Like I said, you scored 5 runs on Thursday, 4 on Friday. 4 was enough on Friday to get the win. And then on Saturday, it really felt like you were able to get things going again. You were happy to get Damian Bravo back. We'd mentioned he had left a game the previous weekend against Baylor. That was his hand injury. And for a right-handed batter to have a left-hand injury, the concern there is like the hamate bone, which is it's one of the small bones in your palm that takes a lot of the force of a swing, just the knob of the bat. But obviously if he's back in a week, he didn't damage that bone. Great to see him back, cause he's leading the Big 12 in batting average. He's batting 452, and the next guy up is Brady Day at Kansas State at 415. So there's huge gap between 1 and 2. So great to have Bravo back in the lineup. So after today, you're now 18-7, 4-5. You are still unranked, but in a couple of different publications, you are receiving votes. The National College Baseball Writers Association and the Coaches Bowl both have you out of the top 25, but receiving votes, after this weekend. The way the schedule shifted, Kyle Robinson still pitched on Friday, which was game 2. You moved Mac Hoyer up from Saturday to Thursday. And maybe that has something to do with his performance. He went a full 5 innings, gave up 5 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them earned, but still had a pretty good walk to strikeout ratio, 1 walk to 8 strikeouts. Derek Bridges came in, pitched an inning, no hits, no runs, and a strikeout. Trendon Parrish went 2 2/3. He got roughed up a little bit. 4 hits, 3 runs, all were earned. 2 walks to 4 Ks. And then Lysett came in to get the last out. You gave up a grand slam, Michael, in game 1. And that was obviously the difference there. That inning started off walk, E4, strikeout, hit by pitch, grand slam. You loaded the bases without giving up a hit. You loaded
the bases. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That is the epitome of brutality.
4 runs, granted, 3 of them were earned. 4 runs on 1 hit. And then Hoyer comes back to strike out the last 2 batters. So, I mean, good job by you. Good to see him bounce back there, but you got another Pompey error, and that was the E4 that got the second guy on. Friday, bounced back, like I said, from, you got Kyle Robinson on the mound. He went 6 innings. They didn't give up 5 hits, but only 1 run, and it was unearned. No walks to 5 strikeouts. Sanders came on, gave you 2 innings. May have been trying to get the third inning stretched out there, but unfortunately he ended up leaving the game. He took a pretty sharp line drive off of his left foot, where he couldn't push off of the rubber there after that injury. And then Ryan Free he came in to finish that one out. you end up walking off Baylor on Friday night. What ended up happening? So Sanders sees that first batter in the ninth, has that ball go off his foot. He's credited with the single there. Free comes in, pop up to center field is an out. Pop up to first base is an out. So you're like, man, here we are. We just got to settle in here, get this last out. But BYU, man, their coach pulled the right strings. They had Herdsman came in for pinch hit here, two outs, hits a two-run home run to tie the game. And then Free gets the last out, the next batter, Painter with a backwards K. So you go bottom of the ninth, and it was young guys, man. Dylan Maxey hits a double to lead off the bottom of the ninth, and then Stripling hits a single, but it's deep enough into the outfield that Maxey's able to score from second to get you the walk-off. So you only needed two batters in the ninth to get the walk-off. Two batters, two hits to score that last run. Bravo, when he came back, because of what you're able to do in left field with Woodcox, you moved Bravo and he was playing center field for you. Well, he played center field for you on Friday. Harrelson started off in center field on Thursday, but Bravo did come in. When he was, he pinch hit for Lopez, in the eighth, and then moved over to the center there. So you split the first two games and then your Sunday game played on Saturday. BYU gets the first run of the game, top of the first. But that's it, man. You only gave up two hits on the day. Your pitching staff really shut things down. It was Washburn. He went four innings, two hits, one run. It was earned. Five walks to four Ks. You hate that number of walks. But you love to see Jacob Rogers come in. He threw three full innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, three Ks. And then Parker Hutera, two innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, four strikeouts. So you struck out 11 BYU batters, walked five, but only gave up two hits on the day. Whereas offensively, man, you put up 15 hits, 10 runs. You very nearly run ruled BYU there. You put up two in the second. Well, you scored in every inning except for the first. Two in the second, one in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. And then three in the eighth. Had you scored one more in the eighth, he would have run-rolled them. But as it was, BYU got one more shot at the top of the ninth. But you shut it down with Hutera going his second. BYU's hits of the day, they got a double in the first. And then a double in the fourth. And that was it. So pitching staff really did well. You had three guys there. But you also looked really good on Friday night outside of Robinson giving up so many hits, but only have the one run. You feel quite a bit different about your pitching staff now than when you did even like a couple weeks ago. Your team ERA is continuing to trend downwards, which you love to see. Team ERA is 5.39. It's not great. It's good for 10th in the Big 12 right now. Your starters are at 5.94, but that's trending down. It was 8 not that long ago. Your bullpen is going up. But that's on a staff average there. It's 5.16 from your bullpen. Both are averaging about 1.5 walks or hits per inning. your opponent batting average is actually doing really well. Your starters are now, they've dropped it down to 267, and then bullpen 281. So while it's not great, it's definitely, it's going in a better direction. And if you can get that continued development, to pair with your number one offense, you probably start winning a lot more in these games. And that may also be maybe a part of the schedule too, about what's next, what's to come. But so far you've given it the third most hits in the Big 12, second most doubles, but 10th most in home runs, which means there's only, nine teams have given up more home runs than you have, but you are last in opponent batting average. So they're not hitting for great power against you. I mean, they're in a lot of doubles, but not home runs, but for sure average. Your offense first, in average, first in runs per game, first in doubles, second in home runs, first in slugging, first in on base. Like your offense is great. When it's on. We've had a stretch where it has been on, and you kind of seem to default to, we'll just leave. We won't change anything up, which was my biggest complaint against Baylor, whether it was just how effective their pitching staff was, whether combination of the two, you never seem to try to change your approach there. But when it's on, it's on. Like I said, best in the conference, ninth in the Big 12 in fielding. Coming up next, you are on the road in Orlando this Easter weekend. So another Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. They recently, the Knights recently came off a series win in Lawrence. Kansas has been a little bit better in baseball. They're continuing to
the Lawrence Jayhawks.
Lawrence Jayhawks, just like the Waco Bears.
I'm breaking you. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
They did win tonight at Jacksonville, did UCF. So they also won their midweek game. Again, I mean, I just talked about you had the best offense. So like me saying your offense is better than theirs, there's no surprise here. Your batting average, team batting average, 329. Theirs is 295. Slugging, you have a full 100-point difference on them, 557 to 459. On base, you're at 441. They're at 386. You've hit 12 more home runs. You've scored 100 more runs than they have. Struck out almost the exact same, 168 to 164. You finally broke your stolen base streak. I don't know which broadcaster jinx got you, but you're now 29 of 30 before today. These are numbers before today. UCF, pretty good. They're 22 of 29. Offensively, though, they've got a few guys to keep an eye on. They've got four batters hitting over 400, led by outfielder, plays mostly left field, Matt Previsk, slashing 360. 436, 488 with five doubles, two home runs, 17 RBI. And you would think a guy hitting for that kind of average, a little bit lower in the lineup. No, he hits leadoff. So you're wanting a guy to get on base. They're choosing to get their leadoff guy to be filled by the guy with the highest average. Next up, outfielder, so the opposite corner, Jack Ziska, 324, 424, 541 is his slash line with four doubles, four home runs, 14 RBI. So Previsk and Ziska is the get on base and get him over. Then they get first baseman Lex Boedeker up. He's hitting 303 on base, 394 slashing, and then slugging 393, five doubles, one home run, 13 RBI. He's their leading base dealer. He's 7-7 on the season. And their DH is the typical, he's the cleanup guy, right? Literally, like he bats fourth. He leads the team in RBI, and he's third in average, 316. Andrew Sundin, 316, 396, 544, six doubles, four home runs. So offensively, those are the guys. They're top four in average, and I believe the four of them bat one through four in their lineup. Once you get through them, it eases up a little bit. Defensively, I mean, they're a little bit more balanced as a team. They're not as, you know, their defense is quite a bit better. Their team batting average that their pitchers are giving up is .238, whereas yours is .274. Their ERA is .498, yours is .539. They've walked 74 batters to your 97. They've given up 19 home runs to your 25. Teams do score against them. 115 runs. You've given up 139. You've struck out 228 batters. They've only struck out. They've only struck out 179. They don't commit as many errors. They're at 978, whereas you're at 967. Guys, you'll see on the mound this weekend, for sure you'll see Ben Vespe and Dom Stagliano as their starters. Vespe's 2-1 through six starts, 450 ERA, 1.32 whip through 28 innings. He's got it a little bit better than a 2-1 walk or strikeout to walk ratio, 23 strikeouts to 11 walks. Has not given up a home run. 10 doubles, opponents are hitting .241 against him. And then Stagliano, through four starts, is also 4-0 on the season, 3.63 ERA, a 1.31 whip through 22 and a third innings. Another guy that's 2-1 strikeout to walk ratio, 20 strikeouts to 9 walks. Not as many doubles, only giving up 5 doubles, but has 3 home runs against him. Opponents are batting .238 against him. So as in terms of guys, 1-2 punch on the mound as their starters, they're pretty good. Their third guy, they've mixed that around. It could be like a Wiley Hartley, Tyler Nesbitt, or Cade Boxrucker. I'll read their ERAs. One of them is not like the other. You would think they'd probably roll with Wiley Hartley, who is 2-1 through his 3 starts on the season. Through 19 innings pitched, he's got a 2.84 ERA, is a sub-1 whip, 19 strikeouts to 6 walks, 1 double, 1 home run. Opponents are betting .176 against him. Pretty salty, dude.
Yeah, that's going to hurt. That's going to be a tough to
but
get going on that.
If he's not a starter, then he'll definitely be like a long reliever if they need that kind of... of course, I don't know who they threw tonight. I guess I could look that up real quick.
I just had that. Yeah, well, I wonder if, I mean, with the offensive powerhouse coming to town, if you might do all you can to get that guy on the mound first.
Well, I mean, you would love to get after their starter, no matter who it is. Where's the... summary. See, no, I need pitching. Who started tonight? Boxrucker started tonight. Oh my gosh. He almost won a complete game tonight. So you won't see him. He went 8 2/3. Yeah. So you won't see Boxrucker, who was one of their guys. Coming into tonight, he had 4 starts and a 10.03 ERA. I'm willing to bet that's dropped quite a bit after he went 8 2/3 and gave up
zero.
One hit, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. His one hit was a double though, but and then the other guy that came in behind him was Bauer. He faced one batter and got a ground out.
How so. Ticked off? I mean, you know, what scenario would you pull your pitcher at 8 2/3? Is it so that he can get an ovation or something?
I don't know, because they were up 6-0 at that point.
Yeah. What point would you do that?
Yeah, he had given up one hit on the night. He had hit a batter, but... Boxrucker's ninth inning was a strikeout, a double. No, there's... Hold on.
Yeah, this doesn't... I can't find a...
What happened before?
Number of pitches.
Yeah, it was a flyout, strikeout, double, and then he gets pulled. So he gave up. That's what it was. He gave up his no-hitter.
Oh, okay. And then it was like, all right, let's...
Yeah, so he was left in.
Gets to wave to the crowd and...
Except they were on the road, so...
That's a great point. Anyways. I'm not used to a midweek game being on the road when you talk about a Big 12 team, yeah. So... That's true.
Congrats on a fantastic game to Cade Boxrucker, though. Good gravy. 8 2/3, one hit. It was a double. God, that would suck, dude. to lose your no-hitter, 8 2/3. It's either going to be Wiley Hartley or Tyler Nesbitt. Tyler Nesbitt, 3 starts. He's carrying an 8.25 ERA with a 1.58 whip. Opponents are batting .277 against him. 11 strikeouts, 6 walks, 3 doubles, and a home run. I'll expect it to be Vespi, Sagliano, and Hartley. But I guess we'll see. Being on the road, Michael, this could be a pivotal Big 12 matchup. Because shoot, to go 1-3 to start your Big 12 schedule, would be pretty rough.
Yeah, and you know, schedule-wise, at least as far as Big 12 is concerned, these teams are tied with 4 and 5 conference schedules, and so they're both thinking the same thing. I'm sure UCF's thinking the same thing. Hey, Texas Tech's coming to town. We've got to fight our way out of the lower half of the Big 12 right now, make a statement. It's our house. They've never been here before. Yada, 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 all the things. All the tackling fuel.
Yeah. Well, they're having to play without John Rhys Plumlee. I mean, he's no longer on their team. He's not walking through that door. But it's then fair. Again, so is, you know, Mason Molina and Brendan Gurton and all the guys that left Tech. So you're on the road in Orlando Thursday, Tyler Friday, Sharp. Saturday. You get Easter Sunday off, and then you are hosting Stanford Monday and Tuesday for a 2-game series. And then you get Houston at home next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as it should be. Houston, no slouch either.
Stanford's 9-11 so far, 3-3. Not great.
No, but...
So also not great if Tech struggles in that series.
Having 2 midweeks though is not great. I don't love that. No. Even against a maybe struggling Stanford team.
Stanford did win tonight though. They're 10-11.
There you go.
Who did they beat? Creighton. It's kind of a weird 3-game series, a Saturday, Sunday, Monday series against Creighton. So did not allow Creighton the sweep. Good job by you, Stanford.
Well, maybe they had a weather delay.
That's true. Could have.
Let's see.
Then they'll play a 3-game series at Utah before coming to Lubbock.
Yeah, this weekend. Well, Utah's last Pac-12 series with Stanford.
Yeah. I'm sure they're really sad.
Yeah. So, okay, go back to UCF really quickly. They're 5th in batting average in Big 12. They are 7th in team pitching. Texas Tech is 10th. They're 2nd in fielding. So if you want to balance all those things out. Next weekend, Houston's not a great offensive team. They're 10th in batting average, but they're first in pitching. Their team ERA, Michael, is 3.54.
What is it with Houston all of a sudden playing defense and everything?
I don't know.
It's hurtful.
They've only given up 85 earned runs on the season. Texas Tech has given up 131. Not the most in the Big 12, though. That honor goes to Cincinnati at 158. But they've given up the fewest earned runs at 85. UCF has given up the fewest number of walks. So this weekend, you're going to have to earn it. You have to hit the ball to do it. Houston's right there in the middle at fifth. Texas Tech at seventh. Houston is second in terms of number of strikeouts, 264. Texas Tech has struck out 237 batters. UCF is dead last at 179.
All right, let's hit these guys. Let's see if elevation plays a factor. You think the ball's going to not carry as much down there at, 50-foot sea level?
No, it's not going to carry as much as it will here in Lubbock. And it may be windy this weekend.
Oh, it's 89 feet. 89 weekend. Feet above sea level. I was close.
You were. The schedule. I was going to talk about the Big 12 schedule. So you got Houston, you got UCF this weekend, Houston next. You get one more with Abilene Christian, and then you're in Fort Worth against TCU. Who knows what kind of TCU team you're going to see. They have not had the start of the season that you would expect a team that's picked to finish first. I mean, they're set 17-7 overall, but they're 2-7 in Big 12 play. Yikes. They avoided the sweep in Lawrence, barely. They got swept at home versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma's better than I would have expected. And then they just lost the series this past weekend against Oklahoma State in Stillwater. They won Friday 1-0 and then lost Saturday, Sunday, 2-6, 3-6. They're hosting Houston this weekend. Following TCU on your schedule. Oh, I backed out. Hold on. UCF, Houston, TCU. You get a two-game series in Fayetteville against Arkansas. That's going to be tough. Then you're hosting West Virginia. On the road in Lawrence. Kansas has been a little bit better than expected, and you're going to be on the road there. Home versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma's been much better this year than expected. On the road in Stillwater. Maybe they've got things turned around by the beginning of middle of May. And then you get this I'm looking at the schedule. May 16th at Arizona State is marked as a Big 12 game.
Well,
they're not in the conference yet.
They will be.
Throw me for a loop. Okay. Arizona State and then a doubleheader on Friday, UNLV and Arizona State again. Before you get to the Big 12 tournament back in Arlington. Globe Life Field. All right, let's wrap this thing up, Michael.
Okay.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right, what did you learn this week?
I learned that my daughter has a pretty good knock-knock joke that I'd like to share with you.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Impatient pig.
Impatient pig who?
Honk!
What?
yeah. Yeah, honk.
Okay, well, that was unexpected.
It's funny on a couple levels. It's pretty good. So that's what I learned. That cracks me up because now she does it with all animals. She'll say impatient cow, and then she'll still honk. just cracks us up. Okay. Sorry if I blew out someone's speakers. I did turkey breast this weekend. I did it the same way I did it for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So we basically had some Thanksgiving in March, but we only did it for sandwiches, which was kind of nice. Felt like low pressure.
Okay.
We didn't have like dressing or anything like that, but I made the same turkey with, I took a big shortcut in the garlic herb butter. I just bought garlic herb butter as opposed to making my own and chopping up like $14 of herbs and like, screw this. I asked my wife, I was like, did they just make, oh yeah, yeah, let me just get you a stick of garlic herb butter. And I was like, yes, let's do that. So anyway, turned out fine. We brined it the night before. Mm-hmm. And then I put half of the butter underneath the skin. Mm. And then brush some on the top of it. But then I put it on the smoker pretty high at like 325, 350-ish. So the skin actually does crisp up a little bit. And then you, about the last 30 minutes, you brush on more butter, the rest of the butter, and let it keep going. It was fine. It's also been fine for Thanksgiving, but man, the whole time I was eating it, I was like, I wish this was like the turkey that Evie Mays does or that Rudy's does that actually has some smoke flavor to it. Because, you know, when you put anything, at least on a Traeger, and maybe some of the other pellet grills too, but once you start getting above 300, the smoke flavor just really kind of disappears. And so I'm kind of back to the drawing board. I may have Thanksgiving in July and find another chicken breast.
You don't have to wait that long.
No, I know. But I think I'll still brine it probably the exact same way I did, which was like an equal ratio of water, brown sugar, and kosher salt. So I think I'll stick with the brine, but then I'm going to tweak how I season it. I may still do like a form of butter, but with like seasoning instead of herbs. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. But then I'm not going to worry about the skin getting crispy because my family doesn't care for the skin anyway on a turkey. Usually they just tear it off anyway. So I'll probably dial the cooking temp back down to 275 and see how that turns out. But I don't know. I will take suggestions. Yes,
please. You can also throw it in the broiler there at the end if you want to try both. Smoke it and then try to get a crispy skin.
That's a good thought because I like that. I mean, I kind of, the skin's not the end all be all for me. It's not like something I look forward to, but I just feel like it's part of it. It just kind of looks weird if it's not there. Yeah.
It's like when you sous vide a steak, like technically it's done. It doesn't look good, but it's done. You could eat it there.
Yeah. I can yank the skin off and just looks like I just, you know, boiled a turkey breast for you.
Oh my gosh.
It'll have a smoke ring maybe. But anyway, I'm apparently retooling my Thanksgiving method because the results were fine. Sandwich. I had another sandwich tonight. It was great, but it's just don't get that smoke flavor, man. I feel like I need to cook it slower.
We
not worry about the skin.
We smoked a brisket. Have I talked to you about this yet?
Oh yeah, because it dried out a little bit on you.
Yeah. All right. I won't rehash that then.
I hate that for you.
You know what it's making though? It's making some pretty, pretty mediocre chopped beef sandwiches. I'm not eating this thing for like the perfect slice of a point or a burn ends or anything like that. I'm taking it out, shredding it up, mixing it with a little bit of sauce and putting on a bun.
You know what, Spencer? And a mediocre chopped beef sandwich is sometimes the most perfect food in the world. I love a good chopped beef sandwich. I love an okay one. they're all pretty good.
I like a decent slice of a brisket, but it's not going to come out of this brisket. So
you're good. You figured it out.
So we've got Easter coming this weekend. Does your family do a special menu for Easter family dinner?
We're kind of smaller. Menu. No, we're kind of smaller now. So we're actually going to go out, which is kind of a newer tradition that we've started in the last like 2 or 3 years.
Apologize for all the yawns, man.
Oh, you're good. But yeah, we're not cooking. We're not cooking this year. Okay. We have before. And
well, I guess to the same point, with y'all having a smaller family here in town, you would not have the same experience I'm having. It's like living out here close to Samantha's family, like they grew up very differently. And in the sense that like their traditional dishes and what they are looking for like an Easter meal is different than what I grew up eating.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's the same dish, the preference on how it's made is different.
You can make ham 1,000 different ways.
Dressing,
mac and cheese,
or stuffing. Yeah, mac and cheese and stuffing.
Or pistachio salad or whatever, some jello thing.
So we were sitting around Sunday dinner this past week, planning the menu and plan for Easter Sunday. And then Samantha's mom got a call from her dad. So she stepped away to take this phone call and they talk regularly. So like it was whatever, it wasn't unexpected, but, or anything bad. But she's as the matriarch of this family, kind of sets the tone for menus and everything, especially for the special occasions, but also has a very, just say, narrow palate. And also understand coming from me what that means.
I do. I feel the weight of that.
I also have a fairly narrow palate. Like we've had discussions with like Keith Patrick. Or I don't like certain restaurants because they just don't appeal to me because they fancy up some kind of dish just to be fancy. And that's just not my taste.
But you also like hot sauce.
I like hot sauce. I like seasoning.
Yes, you like seasoning.
I like things not exclusively prepared from a box.
Yes.
So we were talking about the menu. And they're like, "Hey, let's do ham and let's do stuffing and all this kind of stuff." I'm like, "Spencer, do you want to make the stuffing?" I was like, "You mean you want me to make the stuffing out of the box? Because I mean, I can, because that's what you guys want. But like, if you're at like, are you asking me to make stuffing? Or are you asking me to prepare the stuffing from the box?"
Am I to make the stuffing that you want or the stuffing that I want to make?
Because we went down this road. It's been a couple of Thanksgivings now. We were in charge of stuffing. And I made family recipe, legit cornbread stuffing where I made pans of cornbread, then crumbled it all up and whatever.
Bless your heart. I mean that without.
And it made.
Irony.
Two full 9x13 pans of stuffing for a family get together of 25 people
who all brought something too.
Yes. You know how many servings of that stuffing were eaten? One. And it was me. When they saw me come in the door with stuffing not in a pot, but in a 9x13 pan, they scrambled to find whoever had some in their pantry.
Oh my gosh.
So
that is brutal, man. No, I would definitely be stuffing shy if I were you. I would absolutely.
It doesn't even. Push back it doesn't even. Name, I. They've asked me to make mac and cheese before, and I did the same
like
thing.
It's a test.
I made a big pan of mac and cheese. They're like, well, where's the pot? I was like, the pot's in the sink because that's what I boiled the noodles in. That's what I made the cheese in, and then I baked it and did it right. And this is fantastic mac and cheese. That I was the only person to eat it. I was like, I'm not doing this again. So I set up to bring rolls. I brought three packs.
I was about to say, just bring rolls.
Three packs of Hawaiian rolls. I'm like, you guys can just suck it. Which I'm like, I say that like we've done rolls before in the past, and I've done like the Rhodes rolls where you like you set them out, let them thaw a little bit, then bake them.
Sure, yeah.
And those have gone over well enough. And I was like, no, I'm not even putting that effort into it. I went to the store on Monday this week. And those Hawaiian rolls are going to sit on my counter for 7 days. And whatever level of staleness you get on Sunday, it's whatever you're going to get.
You should mash them up just a little bit.
Just smash them in the car. Just on the way.
Yeah. Oh, this one fell under the accelerator. My bad.
Or just go like, just go leave them open. Like open the package for a day or so.
Oh, that's brutal, my man.
Dry out. Or just go ahead and like, separate them all.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the family dinners, like you tell me, like, you don't ask me to bring a dish. You just tell me exactly what you want me to fix. And because like because Samantha was getting a little frustrated. I was like, well, like, cause we were talking about it and they're like, well, Spencer, what do you want to bring? This is Samantha asking me. I was like, no, you tell me what you want me to bring. I'm like, well, we're having ham and deviled eggs. What else do you want? I was like, don't ask me that question because I will bring something enough for 25 people and we will bring 24 servings home of it. Not doing this again. And it kept asking me, like, no, because y'all won't eat it. Like, I'm not going through the expense or effort to come up with something or to even open up my heart with a family recipe.
Yeah. Share a piece of your soul.
So I was like, we'll just bring some Hawaiian rolls, man.
What are these deviled eggs like?
They're standard. They're just normal. A little bit of mayonnaise, a little bit of mustard, relish, paprika.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty.
I just don't eat them.
I was afraid they'd be super bland.
I'm not a big fan. Well, I mean, it's light on the relish. Only part of them.
I love deviled eggs.
Like not even all of them get paprika, and paprika has such a mild flavor anyways.
Oh, there's no, it's all for color.
Yeah.
At least on deviled eggs it is.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask Samantha's family if it has flavor or not. Cause, they'll tell you it does. It's a little bit spicy.
You should go change all those out to like cumin or cayenne.
A little hot deviled eggs.
Woo! just got a little bite. That's all right. That's good for you.
Yeah.
Clears the sinuses. It's spring. You know, you've got to keep the sinuses clear. Keep the pathways open.
So I learned my lesson that I will take exactly what you tell me you want me to bring. And I'm not.
You're bringing. Did you bring three packages of Hawaiian rolls?
Yeah, with three different flavors too. Like there's like a.
Oh, there you go.
Like a honey wheat. Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
Savory butter and like the original. So.
Take some of that garlic herb butter I found too.
I actually made some for some steaks not that long ago.
Oh, good.
Nice. I didn't use it all. So I ended up putting some on some pork tenderloins I grilled yesterday as it was resting. And that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's a great call.
I've also learned my family of five, although it's really just me, Samantha, and Grayson that will eat it, We will do some damage to some pork tenderloin. Like we'll make the, you know, both cuts that will come in a pack.
Yeah.
And we'll eat most of both of them. Like there's like a serving left, basically.
I will admit that my 7-year-old dips hers in ketchup, but we will take it. It does not offend me.
We started making this avocado lime cilantro sauce. It's more of a dressing. It's thicker. The thickness is based on how many avocados you put in it, basically. Last night's was pretty thick, which is fine. It's great. Like
more of a dip.
Yeah, it's a dip for your pork tenderloin. Anyways, I guess what I learned is there's no going out on a limb. There's no making anything, you know, fancy or specific for get-togethers of Samantha's family. It's like, no. If you want mashed potatoes, they legitimately want you to make the box or bagged mashed potatoes. They've done like boiled mashed potatoes and make them into mashed potatoes. But let me tell you, they're mashed potatoes from an actual potato. There are no other ingredients, Michael. There's no milk, cream, butter, salt, butter, pepper. There's nothing. And guess what? This family does not eat gravy. I was like, God, how can you serve mashed potatoes like this and then not have gravy?
It'd probably be brown gravy anyway.
I don't even care. Like, just give me something.
Yeah, I would take whatever.
Crumbly egg mashed potatoes. It's not even
brown gravy on mashed potatoes is never, that is not, please no.
I don't hate it because I will reach for anything to put up. Like,
I agree, but it's just like not.
I mean, I love default. A good cream gravy on my mashed potatoes.
Yes.
The only time they will have cream gravy, this family, is if we're having like fried chicken strips. And that is it. They don't put on anything else.
Missing out.
Yeah. Anywho's, enough bashing on the in-laws.
Need it for breakfast.
Yeah. Well, biscuits and gravy would be wonderful. But
ladled it over some Hawaiian rolls.
When we do breakfast, it's pancakes and eggs. All right, that'll do it for us on the 23 Personnel Podcast. Y'all say a prayer for us on our Easter dinner meals. Tech Tech Baseball going to Orlando. No more basketball. So, anyways, for Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll catch you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast. Help us out by subscribing, rating the show, and leaving a review. Follow us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. Be sure to catch the next episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.